covered two of the four foundations yesterday, the business idea, the market analysis. Today we're going into marketing strategy. And then we're going to also complete with the financial matters of business. And we'll spend quite a bit of time on that, an important part. So in your manual now, we're going to go to page 19. And the purpose of marketing strategy is right up here, you have your breakdown of the basics of marketing, and it's the four P's of marketing. And you always want, anything you do, you want to have the four P's on your mind. And they're right here listed. The four P's are product, price, place. Remember we talked about that. That could be your location, or your business can mean, place means at the customer's site, wherever they are, not where you are. And or, and promotion. So those are the four P's of marketing. To have our product or service, establish our price. We're going to go over all of the, a lot more details of all four of those P's now. And you're going to also, when we break into our groups again, you're going to work on your lemonade stand, the four P's, as part of, but we're spending more time, anytime we do separate, on your own. On your own idea, your own business, and you're going to put your own business through these tests. And also, we want you to continue to, on every one of these points we're working, do your own SWOT analysis on your idea, on your approach, on your concept of how you're planning on proceeding. And as you get used to doing that, it's just a good checkpoint every time to do that strength, weakness, the opportunities of this approach, and what are the threats that surround me in this approach. So the marketing strategy is right here on the big T. To better understand, it's meant by the example here is a cake mix. This is on page 19, if any of you are not there. And picture a cake mix. They all have sugar, flour, eggs, milk. However, they can vary dramatically by what percentage of which ingredient goes into the cake. You can change the flavor, the texture, everything about the cake. And so just keep that in mind when you think of marketing strategy. Your approach with marketing strategy is you want to have the right percentages of information and the right approach to that information so that your customer can see it, relate to it, be motivated by it, be willing to have that be a call to action where they're ready to take action and engage in a business engagement with your company or you. And so that's the concept you want, is to be in the right the right place, the right price, and the product is right, and the promotion is right. So your ingredients are mixed right for the particular business you're wanting to take forward. So let's consider some of these questions here as a class in reviewing marketing strategy and the existing business, and we're going to use summer snow again, as we did yesterday, as our group analysis. So here's questions, and then turn to the next page. Go two pages, let's see, in your book, it's okay, go page 20, 3.11, mock business sourcing. Are you there? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, we'd like someone to read that bullet to us, 3.11. Marilyn, would you read that, please?
Sourcing is how a business gets the raw materials and products needed to deliver its finished product to its customers. Sourcing is critical as it helps determine quality, variety, timeliness of delivery, and price. For example, a restaurant could buy kneaded ice from any of these three sources. One delivers, but a close look reveals ice that is not clean. Another sells large quality quantities at a discounted rate, but is more than is needed. The last supplier also sells quality ice in smaller quantities, but it costs much more than the others. As a group, discuss who you would buy from and why.
Okay, Jose has built his nice shaved ice stand. It's sitting in the market square by the bus station, the Big New Shopping Center. It's beautiful, it's nicely done. He's ready to start business. He needs suppliers. Obviously, he's in the shaved ice business. He needs ice for his business. He's anticipating good sales of 900, well, you'll find that here in a bit, 900 plus sales a day that he's, I might be confused, that might be a week. Anyway, a lot of sales. Which one of these sources would you recommend he use?
Well, number one is out.
Okay.
That's a health issue.
No question. Number one's out for every reason. It's poor quality. That's never a consideration if the quality is poor. Okay, what about between number two and three?
Number two.
Number two, pardon me? Marilyn, did you?
Well, I would go with two because it's at a discounted rate. You never know if it's actually going to be more than you need or not. And then I could maybe try to resell it.
I can allow.
Okay, yeah. Everyone speak real loud with your responses. Yes, President
Barr. The problem with that, though, is if he doesn't have storage for it, he's not going to be able to keep the ice very long.
Right. Yeah. Remember, he's quite a small stand in the market square.
Oh, he's a small stand.
Yes, okay, Ed.
Well, I was going to say the same thing as President Barlow, and that is that he needs a storage facility, or indeed the supplier may have a facility for him on site. Temporary, and you can pick up. You know, like you take in your propane tank, an empty, and you take back full. That sort of thing.
Okay. First, Debbie and Beverly.
You can do a graph on each of those last two to determine where which point is a break even and which will give you more money.
Okay, that's another option. Beverly?
That's pretty much what I was going to say, because if you have to pay so much for number three that it becomes prohibitive, then you're better off throwing away some ice if number two is going to be more profitable. So you have to really thoroughly examine those two options.
Let's see, we have some of you here that have people here that have businesses that have an inventory based business where you have inventory and you're managing. You have that turned out from that background. Our business is so inventory intensive that it is tough. Okay, there's two. Gloria, did you have a question before we go on?
Well, is it possible if you do number two and have excess, could you not look around and who might need ice and kind of go in joint with them?
Well, that's a possibility. We'll talk about the realities of it.
Competitors.
Okay. So you two that have businesses that that depend on inventory, and you depend on efficient management of inventory, having enough, but not too much. What happens when you have too much?
Sometimes it gets wasted.
Takes space. Mm-hmm. It has holding costs and labor to deal with it. So my recommendation is anytime you're dealing with this kind of a condition, this is just an example, is that I think when you do the analysis and do the graft or however you want to and come up with a plan, you're typically always better to pay a little more, have it delivered when you want it, as much as you need, and you can always, as sales increase, you can always negotiate the price as time goes on. And probably the biggest mistake most of us that handle inventory make is we have too much inventory. That's a regular mistake of inventory-based businesses. They have human nature is, last week we sold six of these, it was so great. We sold six last week, we'll probably sell 18 then in the next couple of weeks. Let's bring 18 more in, because we sold six last week, our mindset. And whereas we probably should have brought no more in, because it might have been an item that's now outdated and we need something new. Or if we sold six, we bring in two or three more, but we don't just keep jumping back in more inventory. When we do, our inventory just keeps building. So this model is the same. Yes, he's probably going to be melting ice if he tries to do the big. And remember, how's he staffing his business?
One.
He has no time to be fiddling around with anything. His time is spent selling shaved ice to customers, making them happy. So he has to have the most efficient space management, the most efficient time management on his part that he can possibly have. And that's pretty normal because for multiple reasons. But number one, every business, doesn't matter who the business is, what would be their number one expense? The highest percentage of their sales goes to what? Payroll.
Yeah.
Payroll, always. And so you don't want to do things that are going to increase your payroll. And if having too much inventory, it's like about a triple negative. It's tying up your cash in excess of inventory. You have to have increased payroll to deal with all of it. It's taking your space, and in Jose's case, he doesn't have any space. He doesn't have anyone that can take care of it. He needs quality ice. What were his margins on a cup of shaved ice? Anyone remember those? It was like 26 cents or something per cup, and he was selling it for $2 or something like that. You think he could afford to pay 28 cents for his ice?
Yeah.
Yes. So the principle here is very carefully look at that and don't get caught into the trap of too much inventory, because that's a typical mistake most all of us retailers and inventors make. Matt?
I was just going to say, in my business, I don't have a lot of inventory to keep track of, but certainly when I'm not very busy, it's not a big deal to, you know, be on top of everything. But when I am busy, when I'm actually probably, you know, making money during those times of the year, I find that the easiest solutions, the quickest things for me are the best, even if they cost me a little bit more, because my time is, you know, you said your labor is the most expensive. My time is probably the most expensive of all those resources that I have. So I can't afford to go to Home Depot and just buy one box of nails. I got to get, you know, I have to do things that minimize my time. So I'm not just running around to save a buck here or a buck there. Just pay the extra buck, get the things you need at that time. And
remember when one of the key issues we said of success on a small business was, what was it, think people, expect quality, time management, remember the hourglass? So everything you do that distracts you, like you say, run it somewhere to save a dollar
and you're not saving.
You're losing.
Somewhere.
So that whole mindset is just a model to be thinking on efficiency and management. And I think when you deal, and I'm sure President Barlow would have many experiences with this, when you deal with inventory-based businesses, many times those that are in trouble because of inventory mismanagement. They could be doing fine if they manage their inventory properly, but they don't. They're trying to start out, they have limited capital, here's their sales are here, and their inventory levels just keep creeping ahead of sales faster than their sales are increasing. And what's happening to their financial position when their sales are here and their inventory's here?
Just gets worse and worse.
All their money's been siphoned out from their pocket to their warehouse or wherever they store their inventory. That's where all their money's sitting. Those aren't boxes, those are dollars sitting there. That's the That's the way that you have to approach inventory management and marketing mix basics is managing inventory properly. Let's see, there are a couple of hands. Dan and then John.
My problem sometimes not having enough inventory. My competitors and my product is expensive, so the inventory can run into hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, I mean, do you take that risk, spend, you know, $50,000 to $100,000? Because I've lost sales because I didn't have it there.
Well, I would say the magic to that is take the risk, but you lost a couple of sales. You don't necessarily need to save those sales. You have to buy 25 items to save those two. The key would be maybe you just increase three or four of those units to start getting those sales that you're missing. And just be careful you don't. We tend to overshoot the runway on these kind of corrections. It's like a pilot, he overcorrects. Well, but an inventory buyer overcorrects and puts in too much inventory to try. And he remembers the sting and the pain of seeing that customer leaving and going to a competitor to buy. And so he is so intense over to solve that, he overreacted bringing too much. So that's be my suggestion. Anyone in inventory, be careful with it. Don't overreact and bring you too much. John?
How does the government tax you on an annual basis on your inventory? Because you see people doing
it. That's not an issue.
Not an issue?
No.
You don't have to pay tax
no.
on it?
Okay. No, we didn't. I don't know. So you
City of Golden will tax you on your inventory.
Oh, City of Golden will?
They found us.
They found us and they taxed us on our chemicals. We buy in bulk because we
sure.
know what to use. And they come in and they tax us on everything else.
So they, do they property tax it or what do they do?
I don't know.
We're leasing.
I mean, you're paid sales tax.
Oh, no. Well,
or you're charging it, you collected it, you pay.
It's probably part of the sales tax.
Okay.
Because we're leasing a building, a little warehouse, and we have our chemicals in there. They come in and they count.
Oh.
Surprise inspections.
Yes. Well, yes, Jeff.
Yeah, we use multiple products, a page or so of different things that we use. And when we buy the stuff, we're taxed on it. When we buy it, we pay the sales tax.
Well, let me tell you a quick story of a really neat business that is out of business.